This podcast is intended for mature audiences.
It also contains two British people talking about sex.
I swear to God, I am thirsty and dripping, and not in the ways that you think.
Oh, wait, that sounds hot. Is that because it's hot?
Hello!
Hello!
And welcome to Teabags and Joysticks, the kinky video game podcast.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Si. We got three in one piece this week, Chris.
Oh, what?
And to answer your question, it doesn't help that we've got a sudden heat wave in the UK, but it also doesn't help that I'm drinking coffee.
It's not a heat wave. It's 15 degrees where I am.
Congratulations, it's 22 up here.
That's still not hot. That's not a heat wave.
When you've just gone from 7 degrees, yeah, it might as well be. Anyway, enough about the weather. We're not going to be that British again. How are we, Chris?
I'm doing well. Are we doing the sir thing, by the way?
I mean, you're meant
to. Sir?
It is still October.
Yes, sir.
Okay. How are we doing, boy?
Doing okay. Yeah.
You'll pay for forgetting later. I will make sure I include it in your punishments because you've already gained a couple this month, haven't you, boy?
Well, I think the one I've got is probably worth it, I would say. Yes, sir. It was worth it for the joke.
See, I think that one's going to be part of my tea this week. So should we just move on and go, what's the tea, Chris?
Okay, the tea. I am going to mention the Conservative Party conference.
Oh, God, which bit? Because I kind of avoided this one.
Oh, no. Oh, what? Have you? Okay.
There's a lot I could say about this.
Oh, yeah, I'm just going to do the funny one where they put the LGBT Conservatives in Section 28 in the hall.
See, I don't know if that's funny or if that's kind of...
offensive.
Terrifying. But I mean, it's on brand, is all I'm going to say. I mean, that don't know, Section 28 was the... So it became the colloquial reference to a piece of legislation that was passed, I think, under Margaret Thatcher.
I think it was Thatcher, yes,
who was also a Conservative, for those that aren't familiar with UK politics, that prevented the teaching of LGBT... what was the phrasing? It was something along the lines of LGBT promotion of LGBT lifestyles. And it was used basically to not have to teach LGBT sex education, mental health, resources, or even just generally mention it, you know?
Yeah, basically.
And it's something that, God, like even now that we're still feeling after effects of it,
yeah.
It was repealed before I got to that stage of my schooling. But it was still hidden behind. So yeah, they then put the LGBT plus Conservatives in Section 28 of the conference hall, which was lost on nobody.
Yeah. Oh, no. Twitter picked up on it immediately, sir.
However, it wasn't the only controversy from that conference, was it?
Oh, by far, no.
I mean, there was the trans exclusionary, yep. I say in inverted quotes, alliance that got a placement at the conference. There was a number of issues around the way that they deal with that. Apparently, Boris Johnson is very pro-LGBT rights, you know.
Apparently so, yeah.
This got said in one of the meetings, like, in and around the conference by Carrie Simmons, who is the Prime Minister's wife. If that's the case, why are we delaying things like the Transgender Recognition Bill and all of these kinds of things? Like,
yeah.
Say with one hand and do something different with the other? Like, no. But, like, in the interest of balance, because, you know, we have to be fair and balanced, Labour aren't much better at the moment.
We're not the news.
Actually, yeah, we do. Like, Labour aren't much better at the moment.
No.
Did you see the one where Keir Starmer, who, for those not following the UK, is the leader of the opposition party, came out and said that coronavirus is the first pandemic we've had in a century. Because, you know, HIV and AIDS wasn't a thing.
No, of course not. It doesn't affect him, so it doesn't exist.
Exactly. And again, this is one of a number of controversies that's been coming out of both sides of these things.
Yes.
Like, yeah. The political landscape in the UK is just fucked right now.
It is pretty. Yeah.
But no, the Section 28 thing was just... I looked at that and I genuinely didn't know whether to laugh or cry. The bit that made that even better for me was, I think it... I might have the name wrong here, so if I have, I apologise, but Liz Truss standing in front of the LGBT conservative section. With 28 right above her.
Yeah.
With a banner of signatures committing to LGBT rights.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It said, I promise to be an ally of the LGBT plus community. Yes. Right, it's like, yeah, Liz Truss, yes, you.
Could this get any more, like, I don't even know if it was, like, subconscious irony, maybe?
Yeah, I think irony is the word.
There is that part of me that goes, did they know what they were doing? Did someone somewhere know what they were doing? Because it's almost too good.
Yeah, did they do it for the meme?
Right? It's like, it's. Do you ever get that where you look at media today and you look at some of the controversies that go on and go, I don't know how much of this is real and how much of this has been manufactured.
Mm. Yeah. I think that's totally possible.
Because I wouldn't put it past them.
No.
Like, that's going to make me sound like a conspiracy nut job, but like, I genuinely wouldn't put it past them at this point because every time like they've had the opportunity in the last few years, they've been smarmy as fuck.
I think that's all I've got to talk about. Tea.
I'm sorry, I kind of like railroaded you there.
Well, no, my tea was pretty simple. It was, yes, the LGBT conservatives are inside Section 28 in the conference hall at the party conference.
That's crazy. Yeah.
What more needs to be said?
It's one of those moments that it's just too good to be true. You know what I mean?
It's too. That's one way of putting it. Yeah.
Well, you know.
But yeah. Okay. What's on your tea, sir?
So my tea is very divorced from yours.
Right.
Okay. Which is every so often as a sir, like you'll give an order to a boy. Especially if they're a long-term boy. And you'll have a very clear intent with that order.
Yeah.
And you'll know that the boy knows you have a very clear intent with that order.
Yes, sir.
And that even though the language is maybe a little bit ambiguous, the boy has played with you long enough to know exactly what you mean. And not only will the boy know exactly what you mean, but they acknowledge that they know exactly what you mean.
Oh, yes.
And then the boy will decide to go and be a little bit of a brat. Won't they, boy?
Well, I wouldn't say I was being a brat. So.
Would you not? When I text you afterwards and went, you know that's not what I meant by that, right? And you go, yes. Is that not starting to be a little bit bratty?
It was social media, so.
It was social media, but still... So for the context of our listeners, I gave you an additional task as part of your Locktober, which was to post a creative nude on a Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
And you decided to deliberately interpret that this weekend as being nude while being creative.
Yes, sir.
This isn't even following the letter of the law or the spirit of the law. This is just being a dick.
Fair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, sir. I'll admit that, but at the same time, I still think it's funny.
You can think it's funny all you want. You won't once you get your punishment.
Yeah, it's worth punishment, sir.
Yeah, you won't, boy. When the punishment for that comes through, it's just like, I'll make sure you remember that it was just in good fun.
It was.
That may be so.
It but was, that's. Sir.
I mean, it's done now, boy, and we've already here. But yeah, that's my tea for this week. Sometimes your boy is going to be a little bit of a brat.
It's all fun and games.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
But with the tea out of the way, shall we move on to the bag?
Sure. What's the bag today?
What's the flavour of the tea bag this week?
The flavour of the tea bag is a lot of lube and a lot of sex, so, as usual.
I was going to say, it's like a regular Friday show for us then.
Yes, sir. But yeah, today we are specifically talking about lube and sex in bathhouses and saunas. Not just sex, but, you know, just being in there. Yeah. Yes, sir. Sorry. That was weird.
I think that might be one of the most convoluted entrances to a topic you've ever done.
You asked for flavours, sir.
I mean, yeah, okay, I'll grant you. I was just, like, continuing the analogy of, you know, tea bags, you know, anyway. But yes, we are talking about saunas and bathhouses, which are one and the same thing, sort of.
Pretty much.
Like,
yeah.
It's weird. In the UK, we tend to use the word sauna. In America, I know the word bathhouse tends to get used. In Europe, I think it depends where you are.
Yes, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, like, for ease of continuing, because we are two British guys, we're going to just use the word sauna.
And, but by the way, for people in the rest of the world, we haven't forgotten about you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Just like, I just, like, they're the three main areas that I know what word is used. I don't know what else is used anywhere else. But yeah, for ease, like, we're going to use the word sauna because that's what we tend to refer to it as in the UK.
Yeah.
So we have differing opinions on this, which is going to be an interesting thing as we go forward.
Yeah. It could be a bit
but
weird.
Should we start by explaining what we mean by a sauna? Because some people will not be familiar and some people will be like, maybe listening to this because they're thinking of going for the first time and they don't quite know what to expect.
Okay, like saunas are pretty much places where generally men who are predominantly gay, but, you know, other identities, like men of other identities, I mean, can go to these saunas as well.
I wouldn't even say predominantly. I would just say, like, men who do have sex with men, because there's bi men, there's queer men, like,
oh, yeah.
It happens, you know?
Yeah. Like, basically, it's a place where you get naked and you look for sex. Pretty much.
And everyone else is doing the similar thing. So, like, this isn't like a brothel. This isn't a sort of prostitution things. Although, like, you do get in some saunas, like, not in the UK, but, like, I know that it's a thing overseas. Like, you might get, oh, like, really? Rent boys and things in there.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But, like, it's not really a thing here. Yeah, it's generally, like, a place that you go, like, and you can have sex. But you don't have to, which is an important thing to point out.
Well, yeah, no one has to have sex at any circumstance.
Well, no, absolutely. But my point is more, like, these areas are essentially, like, they're just a... I find them a chill place to just chill out sometimes. There's definitely been times that I've gone not intending to have sex and just use the facilities sort of thing.
Mm, yeah. Yes,
which is maybe a good point to touch on what can people expect, like, in terms of what's there.
Sure. So correct me if I'm wrong, because you're more familiar with saunas than I am.
Thanks.
Obviously,
thanks.
There's the what? What's that?
Correct me if I'm wrong, because you're more of a deviant than I am.
You are more familiar with some aspects of kinks than
know,
I am.
I know, I'm teasing you, boy.
That is how it works, sir.
I'm teasing. Go on.
But yeah, well, obviously there's the changing area where you kind of take off your kit.
So, I mean, you've missed a big part before you even get through the door.
No. Okay, you need to get through the door first. Okay, so you pay to get in, mm-hmm. usually, and you kind of just you know, give your name and show some ID and that kind of thing.
They'll usually take some basic details off you just for safety.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not that they're going to go, oh, did you see such and such was here last night? It's more like, if anything were to happen, then, you know, if they know everyone that's in there, it's a very quick way to narrow down, like, who's a suspect, etc.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yeah, and then they give you a towel and a key to a locker, and then you go into the changing room, you put all your clothes in the locker, and wrap a towel around you if you want. And then you go into usually the shower area.
Yes, always shower first. First rule, always go straight to the showers. I don't care if you had a shower before you left. You had to get here and it's grimy on the way. Have a shower when you get there. It's just good etiquette.
Yes, sir. And then, yeah, and then you kind of open up to the general sauna area.
Yeah.
The whole facility, if you like.
Yeah, so in most cases, that first area is either going to be a lounge-type area, which is... Like, I kind of guess the best way to describe it is a semi-naked cafe. It's like, usually there's a bit of seating, there might be a TV, there might be computers, like, yeah, you might be able to get a bit of food, it depends on the facilities of the particular sauna, but, like, it's usually just an area that you can just sit and chill, and if you want, talk with people that are so inclined. Not every sauna has this. Like, I've definitely been in a couple that don't. But I think that's fairly common.
Yeah, I would say that's unusual if it didn't have one, from the few saunas that I've been to.
Well, I mean, it, in some places it's literally just like there's a few couches and a TV. It's not like there's not necessarily food or anything.
Yeah, that counts.
And then, like, I think usually you would pass through what I always refer to as like the spa area first.
Hmm.
Which is like, that's where you're going to get like your saunas. So you might get a like just a dry sauna, you might get a steam sauna. Sure,
yeah.
Like, I know the one that we tend to go to in Manchester, like, they've got a couple of jacuzzi pools, a couple of different saunas.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And it's like, these are fairly common. Like, there's one in London. I want to say it's Chariots, but I haven't actually been, so I might be getting confused. Like, they've got a full-size swimming pool.
Yep. I assume not an Olympic pool?
Well, no, not like an Olympic pool. Okay, yeah. Full-size is maybe the wrong term, but, like, they've got a decent-sized swimming pool.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Which, I mean, you know, that's kind of fucking cool. Like, go and have a naked swim.
Yeah, actually.
And then... Sure. There's a separated in most cases it's separated. There's probably one or two where it's not because it'll depend on layout, but like your cruising area is always, well, nearly always distinct from your like spa and lounge area.
Hmm.
So in some places it might be that it's upstairs, it might be that it's in a different section. Like there's one that we go to that's it's basically the basement of a essentially a block. Like, the entire basement has been knocked through. And it's, like, literally, like, you go under this little... I want to call it a tunnel, but it's not a tunnel. Is.
Yeah.
Like, little underground passage?
Yeah, it's weird, because, you can almost think there are two separate parts of that sauna place. And, you have a bit that goes a bit lower to connect them together, yes, sir?
Yeah, basically, like, there's going to be a separation of some sort normally in our experience where you will know you're in the cruising area then. And then what sort of things do you tend to get in the cruising area, boy? Because I've kind of gone into the detail on the rest.
You kind of have kind of booths, usually like private booths.
Mm-hmm.
There could be like a massive couch where people have sex on, a massive bed kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can have like glory holes and stuff like that.
Yeah. Like there tends to be like a cinema room, a glory hole. Some of them will have like sex swings. Some of them will even have like St. Andrew's Cross and things in. I've seen that in a couple.
Oh, I've.
The one that we used to go to regularly, they had cages and things in. And there was one that I went to once where it was
that doesn't count.
The main room, not the main room, but like one of the rooms that you could go in, on the inside, you had like the bed, like plinth.
Mm-hmm.
And then two of the walls and the ceiling were two-way mirrors. So on the inside, it was a mirror. And then outside, people could look in, but you couldn't see them from inside. Which was kind of like, it was kind of fun, like both from the like voyeuristic watching it go on and the exhibition side of being able to be with someone in that moment, but no other people were watching.
Sure. Is that called a two-way mirror? Is that only called a one-way mirror?
Did I say two-way? I meant one-way.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, sorry. But anyway, like these are the kind of things that you can expect in there. And sort of, it's, I kind of like them.
Okay.
Like, I kind of like the environment. Like, I guess maybe now is a time to talk expectations. Because I know that me and you kind of have different feelings on this.
I definitely do have very different feelings than to you. okay, so what are the expectations when you go into a sauna? What would you say is...
Well, I mean, I think...
What do you say people generally expect when going to the sauna? I don't know, because I don't know.
I mean, it's... I think it depends on the individual. So, for me, when I go, I never expect to have fun as such.
Okay.
I go wanting to have fun, usually, but not always. But I kind of go in with this attitude of, it's great if it happens... But at the end of the day, if it doesn't, I know I'm going to at least kind of jerk off and get a bit of voyeurism and sort of just be able to chill in the spa facilities. Because I tend to go to the ones that have got like fairly decent spa side of things as well.
Yes, sir.
Because I kind of like it just as a relaxing environment. Like this is probably leaning into me being like a little bit more on the sort of, I don't know what you'd call it, maybe like a little bit of a naturist, a little bit of a sort of, you know. I'm one of these people that I just enjoy being able to chill out naked. Like,
yeah, okay.
You know, doesn't have to be in public, doesn't have to be whatever, just like, I'm one of these people that I just enjoy just, you know, chilling. So, like, for me, like, I'll happily go to these places and just sort of chill at the sauna and the spa side of things and in the jacuzzi and just kind of relax. And it's nice to know that you're around other people that, like, they're attracted to men in some way, more than likely, if they're there. And it's just like, no one's going to really have a major problem with you looking if they're showing off and everything else.
No, you wouldn't expect so.
But then if I go over into the sauna, I might, if I go over into the cruising area, then I might be a little bit more sort of wanting to get that action. But at the same time, I accept, you know, not always going to happen.
Okay.
Because I think one common misconception is that you're guaranteed some sex if you go there. And that's not the case.
That never happens.
Yeah. There have definitely been nights where I've gone and just not got anything.
Sure. Okay. I think that's what I find jarring about the place. Because when you look for sex, you are not really speaking to people.
But I'm not going to lie, I kind of like that. Go on.
I just don't find it very nice.
Fair. No, that's fair.
So yeah, that's where I'm from. And I don't feel like a sauna place for me is like inherently like kinky enough for me. I know you mentioned I was thinking Andrew Crosses and cages and stuff like that. The one I've been to with you, the cage was kind of just open and you can't close it, so I don't count that as a cage.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's very fair. I mean, I think it depends on a couple of things. I think it partly depends when you go, because I know that a lot of saunas and things will have specific fetish nights.
Mm-hmm.
So I know one of the ones near me does a jock-specific night. They do a water sport-specific night. And they do a general kink night.
Hmm.
So you will get guys go who are like collared and caged, etc.
Okay.
However, on the flip side of it, I think it also depends on what your kink is. So like the exhibition and voyeurism side very of kinks is very definitely there basically all the time. Mm-hmm. I think there's definitely an aspect of the group fun that's there as well, because I think that's a fairly regular occurrence in my experience.
Yeah. So I think that, I think there's a difference for me, because I personally, I don't think kind of voyeurism or group sex is inherently fun without any kind of domination of some sorts, you know.
And that's fair. I mean, but again, it depends what you do, because I mean, we go to saunas like once in a while, and there's definitely an element of that for us, even if it's not necessarily a group night, because I might tell you, it's just like, oh, I'd love to see you play with that guy, or like, you know, be really hot. Like, I'll give you an order to like stand and edge yourself or something in like the open area that you're allowed to do it in, etc., you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. And that's nice.
So
that's why I go to a sauna with you, so not on my own.
And that's fair. And I think that's one of those things that, like, it's... Would it be fair to say that it's as kinky as you make it, in the respect that, like, there are ways to make it kinky, even on a regular night, as long as you're not intruding on... like the consent, etc., of others.
I don't know.
For example, I know I've been to a sauna before in chastity.
Okay, yes, sir. So have I.
And I know that some people found it a bit odd.
Mm-hmm.
But other people really liked it. Other people found it quite a turn on.
Sure.
Like, that in itself can be an element of kink. So I think it's one of those things, like... Like, the kink is what you make of it. Like, there's definitely an element of whether they've got a dedicated night for your specific kink or fetish.
Sure, yeah.
But, like, I think it's maybe an element of, like, it's what you make of it. Like, it's... In some ways, it's what you bring to it. But then at the same time, I'll also say that, like, if you're wanting more of a dedicated fetish space, you're better off looking at, like, the club events and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I prefer to be in that space, if I'm being honest.
And that's fair. I mean, I kind of like the environment of a sauna for the same reason that I enjoy a club, which is, like, it's very direct. Like, and maybe this is a good time to come on to, like, the etiquette of being in a sauna. That, right, like, okay. In my experience, if someone wants to play with you, they're quite forward about it. Or if you want to play with someone, you can be... quite forward about it, and it'd be like they might touch you on like the arm or on the hip or whatever, and like that might be like the initial like, is it okay sort of thing, and then it'll proceed into action. And if you don't want that, like, you knock them away, or you're just saying, you know, not now or whatever, and in the majority of cases that's enough.
Yes, sir.
And so it takes a lot of the guesswork out of, are they into me, are they not, for me. In my experience. As like, as someone who struggles with that sort of...
Yeah, I find it too blunt, frankly.
And that's fair. And I think maybe this is one of those situations where... Maybe this comes back a little bit to what I discussed with Craig in the whole autism and kink episode. That for me, it's like...
Possibly, yes, sir.
It takes away a lot of the guesswork and social etiquette cues, etc., and the sort of... Honestly, the mental gymnastics of trying to work that out as someone who doesn't fully grasp that normally.
Mm.
Like, for me, that's almost easier, because it's just like, okay, well, I know, like, if I touch your arm and I touch your leg and you're okay with it, and I move over and touch your cock, like, you know, jobs are good and away we go sort of thing, you know?
Yes, sir.
Like, there isn't that same of, like, oh, am I making eye contact? I hate making eye contact. I struggle. Like, but is it? But isn't it? But like, what's his body language? But what's he reflecting back at me? And the entire like mental cycles of getting down to like, oh yeah, he's into me. We're in the club. Like, should we do something? Sort of thing. So in some ways, I actually find a sauna better than a sex club. Mainly because all the clothes are already off.
Well, okay. I don't know. Like, for me, I don't think the kind of sex I would get in a sauna is the kind of is the kind that I'm interested in.
And that's fair. That's absolutely fair. I mean, let's be clear, when I'm going in the sauna, I'm not looking for the kinky sex that I'm usually looking for.
No, yeah. Yeah.
Unless I'm like I've gone in a cage and then it's just like, you know, I'm just looking to get fucked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's because, and I think it's very much a mindset thing as well. Like you, I think you quite like a dom to be quite, and this might sound harsh and I don't mean it that way. It's just a style thing. Like right. You like a dom to be quite involved and quite like verbal and give you a lot of structure and give you a very clear way of doing it. Like you very particularly like being in bondage. You very particularly, you like a set of things done to you type of thing.
Hmm. Yeah.
Whereas for me, like, I like that, but then there's other days where I'm just going in, it's just like, I just want to fuck, quite frankly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I don't want the whole, like, rigmarole of messing around for 3 hours on Grindr and getting ghosted, this, that, and the other, and, you know? So is that maybe an approach difference?
Probably. I don't know. Too many vanilla people in there.
I mean, yeah, but you know, I think that's maybe one of those things. Like, I don't mind vanilla sex, you know. It's one of those things. It's if I'm going in there, I'm not. I think the other thing is, if I'm going in the sauna, I'm not always expecting to come out having had sex.
Of course, yeah, of course.
Because for me, I think it's important to note that like a sauna is very much as hit and miss as anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
There are definitely days I've gone in the sauna and I've not. I've either not seen anything that's, like, got my gears going, and I've just, you know, stroked one out and just enjoyed knowing that people are watching or whatever.
Yeah, yes.
Or there's been days where it's just like, yeah, there's been, like, one or two guys that got my gears going, but they weren't into me.
Nice. Now I'm thinking about it, it may be a familiarity thing. There's usually, if I'm going to a fetish event, a fetish club, there will be someone I know.
Mm.
There will be some people I know who I can
you've got your regulars.
Go talk to. Yeah. Whereas if I'm going into a sauna and I'm not going with anyone, then I don't know anyone in there.
Okay. You do quite like a connection with the people you play with, though.
Mm. Yes, sir.
Whereas I, by my own admission, I tend to be a little bit more... Well, honestly, in some ways, it's slightly easier if there's not that same connection, if I'm just looking to get off. You know?
I think, again, it comes down to the kind of sex that we are looking for.
True.
If I'm looking for a fetish or a bondage scene, a domination scene, like, yeah, you need that connection.
This is very true. And to be fair, I don't think I have never, and I don't think I would... do a bondage scene in a sauna.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
You know, it's... like, beyond chastity, I don't think there's any kind of that I would really do in there. Just from a sort of...
It's not that kind of place.
Yeah, pretty much. It's one of those things where it's just like, it very much serves a particular niche...
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that particular niche.
So, sure. All right, so I think we've figured out what my problem is.
I mean, it's not really a problem. It's just a difference of action. But I mean, on the flip side of that, I know you do enjoy going with me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know you definitely have enjoyed it when we've been together. And I've said to you, so, you know, I might say to you, just like, you'll go in your collar. And I'll say to you, it's just like, right, like, that public area there, I want you to stand there and edge while I go and have some fun.
Yes,
and I know you enjoy that, even though it's not actively me playing with you, because you're following an order and you're doing that. There is that element of, like, exposure, but in a place that you're allowed to do it. And that side of things. And I've come back to find you played with before and enjoying yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, you know, like, I quite enjoyed seeing that as well. Like, for me, there's always that element of seeing you being played with by other people. I think it comes back to what I was saying. It's kind of what you make of it in a way.
Fair enough.
But obviously within the reason. Like, don't go doing, like, a full, you know, full bondage scene in the middle of the summer. I mean, you can do. There might be some saunas that are set up to do that sort of thing, but, like,
yeah,
it's not what I would do personally.
It's generally not that kind of setup.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to have, for a lot of bondage scene, you need to have a specific space.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it very easily just anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do simple stuff, like, anywhere. You can, you know, do handcuffs anywhere.
You really can, but I'm not sure I would recommend it.
Oh, no. No, I'm not saying I would recommend it. I'm just saying you can.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe at that point, maybe that's a good time that we talk about safety in these places.
Yes.
Because just like any other activity, like, there are risks. There are things you have to be aware of.
Okay.
I mean, there's the immediate one of the fact that you are basically almost completely naked does give you a certain amount of vulnerability.
But then everybody else sees this one?
No, there absolutely. But, like, I think we would be remiss not to acknowledge that at all.
Okay, so.
Let's start with this. Like, if you are getting attention from someone in a sauna and you don't want it, what's the usual procedure?
Just kind of turn around and just say, sorry, not interested.
Yeah, like, in most cases, if you say to a guy, like, sorry, mate, not what I'm looking for, or sorry, mate, don't want to play right now, most people will take that as the clear signal it is and leave you alone.
Yes, sir.
A guy might be a little bit persistent, just knock his hand away, and it's just like, if he's getting more and more persistent, like, speak up. Like,
Louder, yes, sir.
If someone's being problematically persistent, make a noise. And I get that's a lot easier said than done, but make a noise, because you'll find that, I think, in the majority of situations, like, I'm fairly confident saying people are going to frown on the person that had to get told off, not the person that told them off.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So.
That's not always going to be the case. Like, let's be frank about this. That's not always going to be the case. I know, like, there have definitely been cases of people in there that have ended up being, well, honestly assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, you know, report it to the appropriate places, report it to police, like, get appropriate tests and everything done. You know, just because you inhabit that space doesn't mean that you have to play. It doesn't mean that you have to do something you don't want to do.
Nope.
Consent, there is still consent in a sauna that you have to actively provide.
Yeah, of course so.
I guess the other risk that we need to talk about as well is STDs, you know?
I think so, yeah, that's definitely one.
Like, I've...
Especially if the... I don't know, sometimes you can miss some symptoms, especially if the place isn't very well lit.
I mean, there's that, but there's also the fact that not every STD has visible symptoms.
Oh, that as well, of course, yeah.
Like, I've definitely had... I think I got chlamydia from a sauna once. I had absolutely zero symptoms. And to the best of my knowledge, neither did the person that I was playing with. You know? I found it just as a regular screen.
I see.
Like, you know, take this as your reminder, people. Like, go get your screens, you know? Great, the world's reopening after COVID and everything, but that doesn't mean that you don't need to go and look after yourself.
No, sir.
But yeah, I mean, these are risks.
You need to look after yourself more because we're opening up.
Exactly. Like, these are risks. Like, STDs and things are risks, as with any sexual activity. And yeah, I guess the other one is just like, there's always that chance that you might bump into someone you know. Let's be honest.
Okay.
Because I know this is something that people worry about. Or, what if I bump into someone I know? My response to that is going to be, what if you do?
I never got that. Yeah, I'd never understood that. Like, okay.
I mean, my thing is just like, if you bump into someone you know in the sauna, they're in the sauna.
Yeah.
They're there for the same reason that you are.
So.
I remember I once...
It's like bumping into someone in a kink event.
Exactly.
Like, okay, so what?
Like, I remember I once bumped into... I'm not going to name any names, but I once bumped into someone I know, like years ago, in a sauna. And it just so happened they were coming out as I was going in. They were very quick to reassure me it was their first time, and they'd not done anything like that before, and they just wanted to see what it was like. And I'm like, I just turned around and looked at them and was like, dude, we came for the same reason. I don't care. You know? No. Don't worry, I'm not going to say anything. Just, you know, live and let live. So just, what?
Yeah. Like, everyone just stop being dicks.
Oh, that or start sucking dicks. Or both. I mean, who knows? Yes. You might meet the person there that you've had a crush on for a few years, and you might end up finding out that actually, you know, you can do something about it.
That'll be the dream. Yes, sir.
I don't know. It's just one of those things. Like, I don't think there's really much more to cover in terms of risks and things in regards to these places, apart from like usual safe sex practices, you know?
Exactly. Like the usual, you know, the usual consents, the usual.
Yeah, you know, and if there is a problem, like, you want to, it's the usual channels, you know?
Oh, yeah, and I should say, usually, like saunas, these places provide condoms and lube.
Mm-hmm. I know in the UK they do. I don't know what the situation is abroad.
Fair point.
But yeah, like, don't do anything because you feel pressured into it. Like, know that you can still say no. Being there is not automatic consent.
Nope.
On the flip side of that, if something happens that you aren't comfortable with, make it known. Most saunas, in my experience, are very good at, like, if someone is being problematic, if you tell the staff, they will sort it out.
Yeah, that's what they should do. That's what they're designed to do.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're not going to get any business.
I mean, I don't know about how it works elsewhere, but in the UK, like, it's part of their license agreement that they have to. And they have to report things accordingly as well.
Yeah, they're not going to get any business otherwise.
Exactly.
If it's knowing that, oh, the staff wouldn't deal with such a problem.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know there's one particular sauna that got shut down because of that.
Right.
This is going back a few years now, but like I remember there was one particular sauna that became an issue, and sort of, in the end, they had their license revoked.
Yes, sir. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, they're what you make of them. Like, I think there's always going to be that element of do I, don't I, and there's going to be a nervousness. I mean, I remember the first time I went, and I was so apprehensive about going.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do it in my hometown because I didn't want to do it in my hometown because of the reasons that I mentioned earlier. Like, oh, well, what if it's like, I've like calmed down a lot since then, but like, I was like, oh, well, what if I meet someone, you know? Because I was still young at this point. Still young. Mm-hmm. I might sound like I'm old now, but you know what I mean? but I remember being so nervous about going. And I went, I'd been on a conference and it was like the last day of the conference. Sorry, the last night. Everyone had gone to bed because it like everyone was like leaving very early in the morning, but my train was later on. I thought, well, I've got a few hours to kill. And I know this place is, you know, relatively round the corner, now or never sort of thing. So I went along. I think there was maybe four other guys in this particular sauna. It was just this small little place in the scheme of things. Honestly, one of the hottest guys I ever got with, I got with that night.
Nice.
And I walked out going, what the hell was the big deal? You know? And actually, I'll tell the truth, I enjoyed it so much, I went back the following day before I had to go and get my train. Because it was like, I realized that, like, because I deliberately booked a slightly later train so that I could, like, explore a little while I was there. Realized that I'd actually, over the course of the conference, I'd seen just about everything there was to see. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to go back to the sauna. I just had a nice chill afternoon, just like chilling in the jacuzzi and just watching a bit of sex. And it's just like, there's always going to be the apprehension before you go. But like, if I would say if you're interested in going, do it in a way that makes it comfortable for you, whether that's like a different town or whatever. But give it a go. Yeah. I mean,
it never hurts to try.
Worst case scenario, you've lost a bit of money for your entrance fee and a few hours.
Exactly. And if you're like me, you find that you don't really like it that much, that's also fine.
Exactly. I mean, I know some people that like, they will just go with friends and they don't even go for the sex. They go for the spa side of it and like getting to view the fun that happens around them sort of thing.
Right.
Like, I've got one guy that I know, he's in a committed relationship, but he enjoys the environment. He enjoys, like, he'll go and mm-hmm. he'll use the sauna facilities and he'll have a wander around the cruising area, but he won't take his towel off. And, like, he'll just enjoy the show sort of thing. And it's for him, it's the equivalent of basically watching porn. He just gets to see it in real life.
Just life.
You know? And him and his boyfriend are okay with this. Like, that's their agreement.
Okay. Yes, sir.
So...
Yeah, that's cool.
I think that's most of what we want to cover on saunas and bathhouses.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I mean, if there's anything that you feel we've not covered or you want us to kind of talk about a bit more, drop us a message or drop us a voicemail. Or, and I was going to put this on the end of the show, but I'll put it in now. Like, I'll put a little question thing in. Like on Spotify, there's now a thing where people can leave responses to a question that we set.
Right.
So I'll put a little thing in there. Just like, is there anything that you wished we'd gone into more detail on? And like, let us know there and we can... tell you, we can like come back to this.
And if you're not listening on Spotify,
there's always Anchor that you can do it on. So if you go to anchor.fm/TBNJ podcast, you can send us a voice message on there, or you can just like at us on any of our social media, which is at TBNJ podcast.
Yes, sir. Okay.
But with that,
shall we do a 5-minute Marvel, sir?
Yeah, let's go into the 5-minute Marvel. I think we've covered everything that we can.
Yeah.
Or at least for now.
Well, we're not going to do is cover everything in this 5 minutes.
No, there's no way that we're going to get through everything in this 5 minutes. But should we start with the finale of What If?
Yeah. I mean, I think the second to the last episode was just ended really good. And then the last episode was a bit... I don't know.
So I kind of feel like the last two episodes should almost have been like one long one.
Well, it kind of is designed to be like that, though, isn't it?
I guess. I think the last episode of it is probably the episode that I found the less egregious of all of them. Because while I don't necessarily agree with the way they've characterized everybody, I think it did a very good job at bringing in the key elements of the way those characters would interact. Yeah. I think the only one that really bugged me was Black Widow. Because I feel like she trusted Peggy just a little bit too quick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's fair. But then she... What's there to lose for her? Like...
Oh, no, absolutely. And I don't... Here's my thing. Like, I don't think it's bad... And I get that it was down to time constraints. It just...
Oh, yeah. Totally.
It felt a little bit too quick, but it understandably so, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably the best job they did of characterizing everyone the entire way through. And I saw it voiced elsewhere, and I kind of agree. It actually ended up being a nice send-off for Black Widow overall versus the alternative.
True. As in the movie.
Yeah, I feel like they've done Black Widow slightly dirty, and like I feel like that gave her a much nicer ending.
The thing is, it wasn't voiced by Scarlett Johansson, so they can still bring her back however many times they want.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think it's definitely got the window left open in a way that they can. What I did find interesting is they brought Gamora in without giving us a Gamora episode.
Yeah, apparently there was a planned 10th episode that they cut due to COVID constraints, apparently.
Okay, that makes more sense. But
they are apparently going to just dump it in the second season of What If.
See, that feels a bit weird.
Yeah.
Because if they're going to do the overarching narrative again, it's just like, how are you going to do that in a way that's not going to mess up the other narrative? Although, I'm kind of intrigued to see where Iron Man comes in on that side of things. Like, how did Iron Man end up at Nebuchadnezzar?
Well, we'll see. I don't know.
I don't know. Well, I just feel like that left me with more questions.
I do have some rumours of how that came to be, but I'm not going to speak it. I'm not going to say it here because we're never going to make it.
We'll never get through it. But no, I'm intrigued. Like, I feel like... I think my biggest problem with the What If series is that it's so heavily lent in the way that Disney was sort of talking about it, that it's MCU canon, just an alt universe, but the characterizations didn't fit. It's one of those situations that I feel that if they'd have turned around and gone, this is a completely separate thing, but we're going to borrow some storyline plots, I feel it would have sat better.
I don't think I completely agree that, you know, that there was a massive like characterization problem. I think there were a couple, but overall I think it was fine.
I don't know. I think it's just what I said last time. Like, I feel there are some characters that they've just really not done justice to, or they've completely ignored significant parts of their backstory.
I know.
Should we talk about Eternals?
Sure.
Because the Eternals is slightly, or more to the point, the way Marvel's handling the Eternals is slightly bugging me.
Okay, how so?
Well, about a month ago, the Eternals put out a final trailer.
Yeah.
What was labelled a final trailer. We've had at least 3 30-second shorts since then.
Well, yeah.
So what was final about that trailer?
I don't know.
It's like, come on, Marvel. Like, I get it, but come on.
Don't call it a final trailer. That's it.
Exactly. Why use that word?
Trailer number two.
I don't know. Excelsior!
Sorry, I had to get that rant in at some point.
I mean, if that's the only problem with the labelling, that's not really a problem.
But that was the 5-minute Marvel. Welcome back to those that skip it. So, shall we move on to the final section of the podcast this week? Chris and Go, what's on your joystick? Apart from your chastity cage.
On my joystick, this week I've just been playing more Hades. That's kind of the only thing I've been playing.
So that's like 6 weeks now you've been on that kick.
Yeah,
I think that's the longest I've known you stick with a single video game in the entire time I've known you.
Probably. I tend to jump around games. I don't know. I don't know if I jump around games that much.
You tend to have a fairly varied pickup.
Yeah, but if one big game comes up, I tend to stick with it for quite a long time. You find I kind of was actually playing Forza Horizon quite continuously for quite a while.
That's fair.
And the same, you know, back then when the good Mass Effects came out.
When the good Mass Effects came out?
Yeah.
Are you saying there's bad Mass Effects? Are you sure you want to enrage that community?
I mean, I think everybody in that community agrees that there was a bad Mass Effect.
Mass Effect's one of those weird ones to me. I want to like it, I really do, but I fell off that wagon.
It's really good.
I fell off that wagon. Don't get me wrong, I get why people love them, just it didn't work for me in the end.
It's really good. Anyway, yes, I was talking about Hades.
Because you've now completed the game a few times, haven't you?
I have, yes. I have got to that story arc between Achilles and Patroclus.
You are way ahead of me. I do love the characterizations in that game, though, and it very much seems to be one of those games that just keeps giving. Like, kudos to the developer on that, because my God, they did an excellent job.
You've beaten the game a few times, and there is still so much of it left. Mm-hmm. There are so many storylines that it just seems like you're never done.
Yeah, I wonder if that's going to get expansions.
You will be done at some point. You will be done at some point.
I do wonder if there'll be expansions to it. I'm not sure how they would do
it. Yeah, how would they do it? Because it's clearly been in development for quite a long time, and how they used to do it when they were developing was, you know, to bring out like one biome at a time, didn't they?
It's more, I wouldn't be mad if there was more, should we say.
Oh, no.
Or even just like another game with the same sort of attention to the writing detail that's built in the same sort of engine style, you know?
I feel like from the history of Supergiant Games, they would have moved on to something else already.
They do very much seem to be one of those studios that, like, they do something really well, and then they know when to call it quits.
Yeah. So, that's my joysticks.
Fair enough.
What's yours, sir?
Mine is... Well, before I introduce mine, let me ask you this. When is crossplay not crossplay?
When, I guess, when you can't connect to another player using a different platform?
Sort of. The answer to this is, this for me, is when it's done by Microsoft. So me and a friend, we played some of the Halo Infinite test flight together.
Right.
And it was big team battle. It was kind of enjoyable, you know. It was manic. You didn't quite know what you were doing until you got your ropes on it a few times, but it was very much sort of, it felt like Halo again, albeit with some sort of modernization.
Yeah, that's how it should be.
And then we decided that, you know, because like we'd been playing this and enjoying it, and like we'd realized we can play together, it occurred to us like, well, we'll go and play some Halo campaign, because I wanted to show him like a particular set of campaign rules that I'd been using. So we went over to the Master Chief Collection, which has crossplay.
Mm-hmm.
We both loaded up into original Halo, which is meant to have crossplay, only to find that that crossplay does not extend to campaign. Even though, in theory, both copies of the game can play together because they do so all the time in multiplayer,
yeah,
you cannot have someone on PC play with someone on Xbox on the campaign modes.
Why?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know, because it's the same networking code for the multiplayer, yeah, as it is co-op campaign, near enough.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. Like, what's the difference? Anyway.
If anything, it should be slightly easier, because you're not having to cope with as many connections.
I know.
But for some reason, someone on Xbox cannot play a campaign lobby with someone on PC. So that's like what's been on my joystick. Like, it was meant to be like Halo Master Chief Collection and the Halo Infinite Flight.
Mm-hmm.
But we couldn't play the Master Chief Collection, which is really frustrating. Really, really frustrating. Like, the entire point of the Master Chief Collection is, oh, you can play PC and Xbox and you can play together and you can play all the Halo. No, you can't. And I'm a little bit salty over this.
Okay.
Maybe this should have been my tea, but I'm salty over this, goddammit.
All right.
I mean, apart from that, I've not really played that much, because it's been a bit of a manic couple of weeks for me. Like, thankfully, no. I'm now able to just about, like, sit and play games for an extended period with my neck, but, like,
yes,
it's just been kind of manic on this end, so I've not been able to play much. Like, that was going to be, like, my thing for this week. I wanted to play some Halo, and goddammit.
Oh, I take that if you are still having neck problems, like painting minis are still out.
It is at the moment,
doing,
yeah.
A lot of painting.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's basically my joystick this week. Like, there's not really much to have on mine, right. I'm afraid.
Nah. But, I mean, when we record next, I'll still be playing Hades.
I mean, hopefully you might have played something else as well by that point. I know coming up, I think Metroid Dread comes out later this week, which I'm really looking forward to. It's going to be really nice to get a 2D Metroid game again. But apart from that, I think that's everything. Is there anything major coming out soon that you're looking forward to?
I think there is. I know Forza Horizon 5 is next month, so that's still
away. Is next month, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ooh, I forgot that was next month.
You know I'll be playing that for like 2 months continuously. Because that's what I do.
You know what we need to do, don't you?
What's that?
We need to find an appropriate scary game that we can play because of Halloween. Because our next episode comes out just before Halloween.
We have to play scary games.
Hades doesn't count. We have to play something Halloween related. I'm going to make that a thing. We need to find a Halloween related game that we can play before the next...
Okay. So.
So with that, shall we round out the show? Because I think we've covered everything this week, boy.
Yes, sir. So,
if people want to find us, where can they find us, boy?
You can find us on all social media platforms at TBNJ Podcast. And for all our links, go to Linktree, so linktr.ee/TBNJ Podcast. and leave us a voice message.
Yeah.
anchor.fm/tpnjpodcast.
Yeah, and it's like, leave us a voice message, let us know what you think of the show, let us know if there's anything that we didn't talk about that you wanted us to talk about. We'll do a show at some point covering a couple of these things, because I've had a couple of questions after the chastity episode as well.
The locked over episode. Yeah. Okay.
So, in the meantime, I have been Si.
I've been Chris.
Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.
And we'll see you next time. This episode was edited by TBNJ Chris. Our soundboard comprises royalty-free audio. The opening and ending music is Quarter Conundrum by DOAK. Thank you for listening to Teabags and Joysticks.